Last month, a Detroit-area doctor was indicted for performing female genital mutilation at a Livonia clinic on 2 7-year-olds from Minnesota. Prosecutors say the case against Dr. Jumana Nargawala is the first of its kind under a federal law, even though that law is more than 20 years old. Michigan Radio's Virginia Gordon reports on why it may have taken so long.
Congress passed the law against female genital mutilation in 1996. It makes it a crime to cut or to remove or suture all or part of the clitoris or labia of someone under 18 years old. Peter Henning is a professor of criminal law at Wayne State University and a former prosecutor. He says the law was in response to a push by the United Nations that countries ought to outlaw the practice.
So the United States did, but then the Department of Justice didn't really pay any attention to it, didn't put resources into it. I expect we viewed this more as something seen in foreign lands, and not something that would really take place much in the United States.
There have been a few prosecutions at the state level, but Henning says FGM prosecutions are rare because it's hard to find cases and even harder to prove them. A big barrier is the secrecy surrounding the practice.
You're told not to speak about it. You're brought up with this idea that it's a private matter.
That's Maria Taher speaking via Skype. She's a 34-year-old American-born activist working to bring an end to FGM.
There's sort of this desire to not even acknowledge it.
Taher says it happened to her on a family vacation to India when she was 7 years old.
You're not really told what's going to happen to you. Or if you are told, it's said in a way that is normalized. So you kind of feel that everybody gets it done and it's maybe not a big deal. And for me personally, I didn't think anything about it. I thought it was something that was celebrated.
Taher says years later, she was reading about FGM and connected it to what happened to her.
When you're learning about it sort of in this outside context and then kind of making the connections with your own experiences when you start to realize like, wow, that was wrong. That was violence. I shouldn't have experienced that.
Both Taher and Henning say FGM cases stay below the radar of prosecutors because people are afraid to come forward. Taher says people don't want to get loved ones or friends in trouble.
They don't want to see them to jail. They don't want to see families torn apart.
Also, Taher says members of some communities may fear ostracism if they don't follow the custom, much less report it. Henning says because the procedure is shrouded in secrecy, it's hard to get the necessary evidence of what the performer of the FGM actually did.
As a prosecutor, I have to prove that the procedure caused whatever it is that is identified as the mutilation. So that may not be easy to prove.
Henning thinks it's unlikely that parents will be prosecuted in FGM cases because they may be needed to testify about what was done and who did it. Anti-FGM advocates say the law criminalizing it makes a powerful statement that it's a harmful practice and a form of child abuse and violence against women. But many say prosecution by itself will not end the practice. That needs to be part of a holistic approach of support, prevention, and education. Taher says prosecution may serve as a deterrent, but it could also drive the practice further underground. She says the most important impact of the Detroit area prosecution is that it has sparked conversations in practicing communities about a previously hidden subject.
People are talking about it. People are getting more comfortable with talking about it. And that's something that you need when you're trying to make change happen.
Henning anticipates that part of the change could be greater awareness about the harms of FGM and more prosecutions. Shortly after charges were filed against Dr. Nargawala, legislation was introduced in the Michigan legislature to criminalize FGM in the state with tougher penalties than under federal law. I'm Virginia Gordon.